Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:51, and that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is January 5th. And today was a day in which there were a number of fireworks, and most particularly in the commodity markets, in the currency markets, and in the bond markets, but not particularly in some of the largest stock markets. And we can see very clearly that the Dow Jones was down, but only just 0.2 of 1%. The S&P 500 almost completely unchanged, and the Euro Stoxx 50 indexed almost unchanged as well, whereas the majority of European markets were reasonably steady. But we can see then that it was the Hang Seng had one of the bigger moves. It was up 1.46%, and that gives us a clue as to exactly what was going on in the markets today, because the renminbi has staged quite the rally. And this is the onshore renminbi, and you can see that it has staged its one of the largest downward dynamics for the dollar in quite some time. And there is a wide overextension relative to the trend mean evident on the onshore chart. But when we look at the offshore chart, then it had a big move yesterday and an even bigger move today. So it has almost completely unwound its overbought condition in here. So that is some fairly substantial strengthening by the renminbi. And this is not the first time. We can see that there was a pretty similar move at the beginning of 2016. There was another similar move at the end of 2015. And if we cast our minds back to what was going on then, it was that the Chinese administration want a weaker currency. But they don't want a weaker currency all at once. They moved in at the beginning of 2016 to chasten those that were aggressively shorting the currency. And that is apparently what has been done again in here today. So that puts a lid on the devaluation, at least in the short term, and potentially for the next few months, that we can at least anticipate that this overextension relative to the trend mean is going to be unwound. But it remains unlikely that 7 renminbi, 7 yuan to the dollar is going to be the termination of what has been so far a 3-year decline for the renminbi. If we look at it over the longer term, there isn't anything particularly magical about 7. And we don't get the back history on the offshore one because it hasn't been around that long. In fact, the renminbi is probably the only currency that is traded independently offshore and onshore, which, considering that it has special drawing rights at the IMF, is a rather ridiculous scenario. But there's nothing to be done about that, is there? But this move in the renminbi has had some pretty impressive knock-on effects, and most particularly for Bitcoin. And in the last few audios, I've been talking about Bitcoin as an accelerating market, and that it was looking increasingly at risk. And then we can now have a very clear example of just how volatile it is. And not least because it is considered in some circles as a currency, but of course it is substantially less liquid than a real currency. And this is a very clear downward dynamic, and indicative of quite concerted selling pressure. And realistically, it probably puts a peak of at least near-term significance on the price, and it raises the prospect of a reversion back towards the mean. But considering that prices were not quite, but pretty close to double what the trend mean represents, then there is significant potential for additional downside, and not least if the renminbi continues to strengthen. What, of course, it does highlight very clearly for anyone who was using Bitcoin as a safe haven trade is that gold is not something that can simply be printed into existence. It isn't, neither is it something that can be overly affected by anything that goes on a computer screen. Physical gold is immutable, and that has been something that has steadied, I guess, kept it in good stead for thousands of years already. When we look at the chart, there is pretty good evidence at this stage that a reversionary rally is going on, and that would suggest that there is at least another $50 rally potential in gold prices before any really big questions get asked. What it does then, and whether it can hold the low on any pullback, is going to be a real arbiter of just whether this is a just a short-term low, or whether we are in the process of putting in a medium-term low. When we look at gold over the last 5 years, the trading over 2016 is quite different to what prevailed previously. The medium-term progression of lower rally highs has been broken, and then if it can hold the low that it put in 2 weeks ago, then that would at least help to suggest that we are in base formation development, and or even possibly, and we certainly won't have evidence of this until it sustains a move above the trend mean, and more likely back above $1,300, but perhaps this is first step above the type 2 base that we're getting, that we've had the type 2 bottom, and now we're getting the right hand extension, and this right hand extension is a volatile period of time, but we are reasonably close to where the lows were. It's a natural area for where demand might begin to be reasserted, so certainly gold is worth keeping an eye on. And but gold wasn't the leading performer in the sector today. Platinum was. It was up $24. And it is, has now closed its overextension relative to the trend mean, and it is breaking the progression of lower rally highs. The gold shares have also been leading on the upside. So the GDX index has now broken its progression of lower rally highs and is testing the region of the trend mean. And there are a significant number of gold shares have experienced swinging pullbacks. And obviously, if the index is performing just as it has and gone from 30 to 20, I guess it's more like 31 to 29, there are plenty of shares that are right now in the region of their respective trend means, but then there are others that are substantially below them. And Sibanye Gold, having diversified into platinum, is staging a reversionary rally, or at least the potential for a reversionary rally, and it has some of the lowest valuations and highest yields of any share in the sector. But considering that it had came down from a high close to 21 to a low around 6, then there is a lot of bad news that has already been priced in. And of course, if the renminbi was strong, it was because it was also that the dollar was weak today. And the dollar index is working on a downside weekly key reversal. Follow through next week would confirm a peak of at least short-term and potentially medium-term significance. But of course, there was a short-term overbought condition. It is coming back towards the 100 level. That represents the upper side of the underlying trading range. By the time it gets there, the trend mean will probably be close to 99. And perhaps we get a first step above this range. Maybe the price comes back and finds support at the upper side of the underlying trading range. We have seen plenty of examples of exactly that kind of pattern in stock markets. So if it can happen in one market, it can certainly happen in another. There are plenty of reasons for thinking why there should be a reasonably firm dollar. But at the same time, if there is going to be a big fiscal push, then that will ask questions about whether growth will be fast enough to make up for the additional spending. And that isn't something that has been really priced into markets. What we have certainly seen is that inflationary expectations and expectations for additional growth have been, to one extent or another, priced in. And now perhaps we're getting some of that euphoria that followed the presidential election beginning to come out of some of the markets that benefited most from it, and most particularly that was the dollar. if the dollar is getting a bit weaker, and then it is occurring on a broad-based level. The euro today is back above 106, and if it can hold above the 106.5, well, then that would break the progression of lower rally highs, and it would begin to say that there is the potential that this is going to be a failed downside break. So I think the euro is really worth keeping an eye on. And the Euro Stoxx index, which is overbought in the short term and was pretty much unchanged today, has benefited enormously from the weaker euro. And then if the euro does strengthen, then that could result in that short-term overbought condition beginning to be unwound. And what we can certainly say about the dollar and a number of these stock markets is that they do have room in which to consolidate and still maintain the medium-term bullish environment overall. And if we draw that conclusion from currencies and from stock markets, well, then we should probably draw the same conclusion from bonds, because U.S. Treasuries, having got up to 2.5%, excuse me, having got up to 2.5%, have and developed a short-term oversold condition or an overextension on the yield. Well, they also have plenty of room in which to consolidate, and then the potential here is that we do get an unwinding of the short-term oversold condition. And I continue to keep a very close eye on the Merrill Lynch Total Return Index for Treasuries, because it has had a phenomenal bull market, and this is marginally, and it is only marginally, the largest pullback that it has had. Real confirmation that a peak has been found and that has been reached, and that the top formation has been completed, will be if this rally, and it is really only one day in the making, but if this rally encounters resistance below the 2100 level, excuse me, 2150 level, and then sustains a move to new lows, that the if what it needs to do is to maintain the progression of lower rally highs and move to a new low. We need lower lows and lower highs to confirm that a downtrend is in evidence. And that could take a while. A 35-year bull market does not simply end with a whimper, and it doesn't end overnight. We can anticipate that it is going to take a while, and that the likelihood is that the peak really is at 2200, but there's a lot of gravestones out there from people that predicted the end of the bond bull market and were too early. And we've seen a number of those similar kinds of stories coming out over the last few weeks. That would suggest that it is to a certain extent a consensus view at this stage, and it might yet be correct. And I have a lot of sympathy with the view that the bull market in bonds is over, or at least in its final stages. But we do not yet have confirmation that the peak, that the top formation is complete. And if that is indeed the case, then even if you are a bear, you can definitely see that there is a short-term overextension. So then the likelihood is that it will be unwound in just the same way that it can be unwound in gold, and in just the same way it can be unwound in stock markets. And I think that it is also worth considering that bonds are they're a total return investment, but they are most often valued on a relative basis, and spread trading predominates. And a circumstance had evolved before Christmas where Italian bonds had a substantially lower yield than treasuries. And it is certainly questionable whether a large number of people were playing that trade because of the currency market volatility. But of course, you needn't take out the hedge. You may simply just bet on one side, and then just watch the spread as your indicator for how to exit the trade. And the fact that the dollar has pulled back, which has put pressure on, which I guess has put a bid under treasuries, has helped to put some downward pressure on the Italian bond index, or the Italian bond yield. It's now at 1.93. So that spread relative to treasuries is contracting quickly. And if this were a stock, and we saw that it had broken that long progression of lower rally highs and is finding support in the region of the moving average, well, then we might be inclined to buy it. And I think the big question now is that we do have some evidence that there is one rule for large countries and one quite another for small countries. So perhaps it is not a bad idea to look at the bonds of a small country, and the one that is making headlines is Portugal. Portuguese bonds are now at 4%, and while the Italian yield closed off its peak, and probably because the ECB was in there buying, this chart of Portuguese government bonds does not suggest that the ECB is aggressively buying those bonds. And again, it is absolutely dependent on the ECB buying the bonds, because that chart suggests that nobody else wants them. So when we then look at, well, what could be the potential? Will Portugal be allowed to bail out whatever comes into trouble, or will they be forced to endure the kind of environment that we had in Cyprus? So, there is that is going to be a big question, and it is also pointing towards the governance, that deficit that is evident in the Eurozone more generally. Broadly speaking, the continuous commodity index has benefited today and is now breaking the progression of lower rally highs. So that is positive, and the London Metals Exchange index will not have updated yet, because I think it updates at midnight. But then it also has found support over the last session, and that will be stronger in here today as well. So we have had some consolidation of the breakout, and support would now appear to be coming in. Then that suggests that we are potentially at a changing point, or an all change point, for a number of the trends that have been in evidence. And what is perhaps most interesting is that stocks were so inert in here today. That is unlikely to remain the case. If the dollar continues to pull back, that's probably good for stocks. But if bonds continue to rally, that will potentially act as a headwind, because it will suck some of the money out of equities that had moved from bonds. So, there is certainly potential for more volatility, and perhaps the best news is for the sectors that have been most beaten down, and certainly that is precious metals. Commodities have had generally a weaker time of it over the last few months, and for example, lead prices have been leading decliners in the industrial metal sector, and then there is evidence now that support is beginning to come in. But it is also in Asian markets where they have endured this very weak Asian dollar index, and now there is evidence that that is beginning to turn. So then when we look at, for example, and I think Singapore is representative, that it spent most of last year ranging, and now it has bounced from the region of the trend mean. It is in the process of breaking the progression of lower rally highs. There's been a progression of higher reaction lows for most of the year, and I think that the balance of probabilities is that it is going to go higher from here. The Korean market has been inert for 5 years. It really hasn't gone anywhere at all. But there is a progression of higher reaction lows since late 2015, and it would appear at least to be only a matter of time before it can sustain a breakout. What is, I think, quite interesting, and I cannot remember the ticker for Samsung Electronics, but just so bear with me while I pull it up. But what that suggests is that the lengthy period of time in which it really did nothing at all is over. There is obviously a short-term overbought condition for Samsung right now, so there is potential for that for some consolidation. But if Samsung is breaking out and running like that, that should be generally good news for the Korean market over the medium term. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. And just to mention that I record the video and the audio separately, so that I post the video in comment of the day, but I also post the audio in the audio section, and you'll be able to click on the audio, just the audio, from the embedded audio player on the home page. There are a number of options whether you want to watch the video or listen to the audio. Either option is available to you. And thank you for your attention.